My beloved, Saint Germain I am, known as Saint Joseph of old, for it was indeed a privilege and a challenge for me to serve as the father of the young Jesus. As Mother Mary has explained, he was indeed not born of an immaculate conception, but the Holy Spirit worked through both of us to realize, as Jesus explained yesterday, that when there is a special task to be completed, one must leave behind everything else and follow that direction from within before one can be in the right place at the right time, where the outer situation becomes obvious to one's mind and one sees what is to be done, what is to be brought forth, what is to manifest, so that one can, in that lifetime, have the opportunity and the privilege to do something that reaches beyond a normal human life, that reaches beyond one's own expectations and desires and wants for a particular lifetime. For one grasps that greater purpose, that greater vision, and one sees that there is something more to life than what most human beings see, envision, and expect for a normal lifetime. This, my beloved, is the key. Consider how every human being has the potential to reach for something within themselves, something in the heart, something that brings out a quality, that ineffable, hard to describe something that many people call love, but it is not truly the human possessive love. It is a transcendent quality, a transcendent love, if you will, but it is simply transcendence itself. It is that you touch a piece of heaven. You touch a piece of something beyond. You touch the Master's garment, my beloved, and you feel the stream of the Master's consciousness flowing through you, bringing healing or awakening as the need might be. And thus, you are all called to reach for that something that is the quality of more, that is what the old alchemists sought and few ever found. That transcendence, that ability to transcend the old, to simply leave it behind, to take a leap forward and to say, this is who I am now, and it does not matter what I was yesterday or last week or when I was born, for this is who I choose to be at this moment. The right, my beloved, to be who you will be at any moment, regardless of what you have been or not been before. The lie of the false teachers is that your past choices, your past state of being or non-being, should limit your future choices, or rather your present choices, the choices you make in the eternal now, when you decide that I am not going to wait for tomorrow. I am going to choose to be more right now, right here. This, my beloved, is the essence of alchemy, the choice to be more, not in the future. To not see this as a process that goes on, and if you keep doing some outer ritual or reading a scripture or chanting a prayer, then someday something will happen. No, my beloved, alchemy, true alchemy, is when you decide that now, right here, I am more. I am not looking back. I am putting my hand to the plow of Christ, that I am moving forward, cleaving the real for the unreal as I turn the earth over and reveal a new surface for the growth of new life, my beloved. This is what Mary and I did. When we had seen the vision, when we had met each other physically, we put our hands to the plow and we moved forward from there, regardless of the difficulties, moving from here to there to there, being on the move for years before settling down for a longer time in that tiny village of Nazareth. You see, my beloved, I desire to give you at least a glimpse into how it was to be the father for this young boy that grew up to be Jesus. It was not easy, my beloved. Oh, yes, you have heard the stories made up by human beings. Some of you have even read so-called new revelations about the young boy Jesus and his ability to do this or that miraculous feat. Well, my beloved, Jesus did have special abilities, but he did not manifest any what you would call miracles during his childhood. What he did manifest was a very strong will, a very strong sense that he has something beyond the ordinary child of his day. And my beloved, he was still a child. He was still a child. He had the inexperience with life, combined with that inner sense of self-worth, of having something special. And you see a combination, my beloved, that it could be very difficult for a father to deal with, especially in that age, where I, of course, was brought up in a traditional male-dominated culture, where the father was seen as the head of the household, which I can assure you that Jesus had no tolerance for whatsoever. He was a very headstrong boy. He was not anxious to listen to the elders. He wanted his own experiences in life, as many of you have seen with children in this day and age. For again, you have many children who come into embodiment in this day and age who have that inner knowing that they are here for a purpose, that they are not here to live an ordinary life defined by society or their parents or their teachers or their elders. They are here to forge their own way. But, of course, it would be much easier for them if they would listen somewhat to the elder generation to gain some experience, to learn from our mistakes, so that they do not have to repeat them all over again. Yet I can assure you that this was not Jesus' approach. I am not thereby saying he never listened, but I tell you that there were many a time when I was ready to pull my hair out in frustration over his unwillingness to listen, not only to reason, but his unwillingness to listen to anyone who had experience. Jesus was a hands-on kind of person. If you told him not to touch something because it was hot, you could be absolutely certain that he would go touch it to make sure it was hot. My beloved, why do you think Jesus is not talked about in the scriptures between his appearance in the temple and the age of 30? Well, you will recall the story of what happened in the temple. We had taken him there, Mary and I, expecting him to keep close to us. For indeed, Jerusalem back then was a busy place, as it can be today, where it would be easy for a child to get lost in the crowd, swept up by the crowds as they moved through the narrow streets that were even narrower back then than what you see today. And so here he was, suddenly gone. Mary thought he was with me. I thought she was with her. And we then met and realized that he was with neither of us. Panic, my beloved, as any parent would experience. Running around looking for him, finding him, and then in our worry and concern, hearing him say, with an absolute assuredness bordering on arrogance, "Wished ye not I must be about my Father's business?" Well, I was about to show him right there what was his Father's business. But nevertheless, what you see is that he had reached that level of maturity where he could not be taught by me, and I knew it. I knew there was nothing more I could teach him. And thus the solution we found was to send him with people we knew and trusted, including Joseph of Arimathea, on to the caravan routes where he could gain experience with different cultures, different people, where he could move around, be away from home, see something different, and hopefully through that gain a perspective that he did not have living a somewhat protected life in a small village, my beloved. For I am sure you realize that regardless of the fantasies that people have come up with, back then, living in the village of Nazareth was living in a very small mental box. There was no television, no newspapers, no books, no way to know what was happening beyond what you could see with your eyes or where you could walk in a few days. My beloved, it was a very isolated kind of life, and we knew that Jesus needed a broader perspective. He needed to see more of the world. I had indeed traveled as I was younger and seen more of the area around here. Mary, of course, being younger, had not had the opportunity, and as a woman being more limited anyway in her ability to move around in those days, for surely she could not travel alone. That was the privilege of men only. So we knew that it was time to send Jesus out into life to gain experience, and hopefully he would come back with an expanded perspective, perhaps then settling down as we had our dreams about, for we did not have a clear vision of what his mission would be, and neither, of course, did he at that time. So we let him go, not knowing whether we would ever see him again, not knowing, and indeed not seeing him. In my case, I had passed from the screen of life before he returned to this area. Of course, Mary, seeing him again when he came back as an adult, yet not still having reached that full awareness of his mission, and she playing a key role in guiding him on to start on that more than ordinary mission, which none of us really could grasp and understand fully, including Jesus, until it started unfolding. But Mary knew that there was something beyond the ordinary that wanted to be brought forth and expressed through Jesus. So at that fateful wedding in Cana, she was there to say the right words at the right time, so that he started his public mission from where there was no turning back. My beloved, I wish I could have been there to support him. But then again, I know that he did not need my support, for at that point he had found it within himself. And that, of course, is the ultimate joy of a father, to see the children find it within themselves, my beloved. Find it within themselves. What good is it if you continually have to rely on outer measures, be it reading the stars or casting lots or looking into a crystal ball, in order to know, supposedly, what is the right thing to do? There must come a point, my beloved, where you take responsibility for yourself, Which means what? It means, my beloved, realizing that although you have a divine plan that outlines the broad steps, the broad strokes, the details, sometimes quite broad details, are up to you, and you are choosing your creative expression, my beloved. The divine plan is not a straitjacket. Divine direction is not a straitjacket. It gives you some outlines, and then within those outlines, you are meant to fill in the details, my beloved, not in a predefined way, but in a creative way. Oh, yes, this is indeed a subtle difference. As Jesus spoke about yesterday, those who follow the outer path and those who follow the inner path. Those who follow the outer path, my beloved, believe that somewhere up in heaven there is a divine plan that is outlined in minute detail. And you need to use some kind of measure here on earth to get direction for how to take every step on that path, and then you simply follow it blindly, and then in the end, when having done everything you could do to get this direction and then follow every step blindly, then you will be rewarded by entry into the kingdom of God, which you see as an external kingdom, where there is a gate somewhere that you can enter. But you see, as Jesus explained, it is an inner path, and that means what? It means it cannot be mechanical. It cannot be predefined. It is a creative path, my beloved. Oh, yes, I know that for so long, for so many centuries, Christians from all over the world have looked at the scriptures, have heard the stories of Jesus' life, and they have thought that everything that happened was preordained. But you see, There are many ways to be the Christ, my beloved. It is not that being a Christ means putting on a straitjacket. There were many ways even for Jesus to have been the Christ. There were many ways, my beloved, as he said himself yesterday. He did not give just one sermon on a mount. He gave many, each one being slightly different. Each one being a creative expression, my beloved. Even the Beatitudes he gave yesterday for a more modern age and an expanded state of consciousness. Even those could be expressed in many ways for different audiences, for different circumstances. And thus you see, creativity is the essence of the path to Christhood. There is a certain stage on your personal path where you can make some progress by following a somewhat mechanical path, where you give outer rituals and study outer teachings. This messenger can attest to it from his own life, where he made progress following this path, although I must tell you that he never followed anything mechanically, but always pondered it creatively, coming up with his own inner understanding, always directing it to how he could explain this to others and make it easier for them to understand, for he knew that part of his mission in life was indeed to bear witness to this ineffable something that is beyond an outer truth that can be expressed in words, but it is a spirit, a glimpse of something beyond, my beloved, something ineffable. But something that makes you realize that there is more to life than the ordinary human existence that seems so bland that it almost defies description, how defies comprehension, how people can live in that state of consciousness for an entire lifetime and not even once cry out for something more. My beloved, alchemy is not a mechanical process. It is not a matter of finding the right formula, the right chemical ingredient. It is a creative process. It involves your consciousness. Do you not see how quantum physics today has proven that observation is not the passive observer observing external events? Observation is co-creation. Your consciousness is part of everything that happens in your life. You may think you live in a world that is independent of you and your state of consciousness. And certainly there are things in the universe that are independent of your state of consciousness, for they are dependent upon the states of consciousness of other beings, some of whom are not in embodiment. Nevertheless, your life, your circumstance, your life experience is indeed wholly dependent upon your state of consciousness. And that is why you have the choice to lay down the responsibility to enter into a personal drama, to even be trapped in one of the epic dramas, and therefore live an entire lifetime in that mechanical state of consciousness, where you are not truly going within and taking responsibility for making creative choices, choices that seek something more, something deeper, something more profound. My beloved, those of you who can grasp the true inner path will know what I am talking about when I say there's something more, this transcendent feeling, there's something that you have grasped something. You have grasped a glimpse of heaven, of what life truly could be. Well, this, my beloved, is what you are here to witness to. You are here to witness to it. But how can you do that unless you step outside of the dramas, unless you realize what the dramas are in your own personal experience and consciousness, so that you can reach for that something more? And let me give you the essential key, my beloved. The dramas have one effect. And what is it? To make you focused on yourself as the separate self defined by the drama, thinking this is all you are, this is all you can be. And so you must find a way to snap out of that focus on self. And what is it? It is to focus on something beyond that self, other people, a greater cause, doing something that is more than the ordinary existence, more than what it is defined by the dramas. It is the only way, my beloved. Do you see what happened to Mary and I? We had the inner direction from the Spirit that we were meant to do something beyond the ordinary. Both of us had our lives on a certain track that had nothing to do with us coming together, with our great age difference, with our great difference in background, family, and culture. We had never envisioned coming together and giving birth to a child and several children. This was not our divine, this was not our outer direction, the outer path that we had envisioned. But we grasped at something more. We took that turn, and then we knew that this was our opportunity, our calling, what we had volunteered to do, to bring forth something beyond the ordinary. And we did, in our own way, as best we could with our state of consciousness. And it does not mean that we were perfect, or that you have to be perfect. It means that you have to reach for that something more, and be willing to outpicture it in whatever way you can, and then keep expanding and expanding throughout your life, expressing more and more of it, my beloved, until people can see it. As Jesus said, they look at you and they see that this is not an ordinary human being who is expressing what you are expressing. This can only come from something beyond. And this is when you can say with Jesus, I can of my own self do nothing. It is the Father, the I Am Presence within me, who is doing the works, and your I Am Presence can do similar or greater works to you. You, my beloved, tune in to your higher self, and then you are not in competition with anyone else. You only want them to tune in to their higher selves, that they can bring forth their unique gift. For there is not one or two people that are more important than others, even though they may hold a certain spiritual office. My beloved, you are all important. The 10,000, a million and more who can manifest some degree of Christhood. You are all of equal importance, or should I say infinite incomparable importance, for we of the ascended host do not impose these value judgments, for we have transcended our personal dramas, and we have looked at the lie behind the epic dramas, and we have said, you have no power over me, for I am free, I am more than this, I do not have to continue to play these dramas, and therefore I transcend them right now, right here. My beloved, life is such an incredible gift. And I know, my beloved, that when you are in a dense physical body, when you are facing difficult circumstances, well, then it may be difficult to remember. But I tell you, life is an incredible gift. And although I started out by telling you about the difficulties I had with the young boy Jesus, I can also tell you that there were times when I looked at him, saw the light in his eyes, or even the light in his aura that I did not see physically but sensed. And I felt what a privilege it had been for me to be the father of this child. Of course, sensing the same in my other children as well. And as I have described once before, sensing the incredible privilege it was for me to be the husband of this most ineffable being, Mother Mary. For I tell you that she had that transcendent quality that you could look upon her and you could see something more. Something that was not human, something that was not physical. Sometimes, my beloved, I would look into her eyes and I would feel I was in a different realm. The heat of the day would melt away. The aching of my muscles after a long day's work would disappear. And I would feel that I was in the company of an angel, which of course was true, although I did not know it with my outer mind. But an angel, not in the sense that many of you envision, as these beings flying around up there in heaven and blowing in trumpets. No, my beloved, what is an angel really? Is it not anyone who is able to be here in this dense realm and yet show something that is beyond the ordinary? That is one definition of an angel, a messenger of God who comes to show that there is something beyond the density of the material world. That certainly could be one definition of an angel, my beloved, a broader one. A broader one indeed. For we always desire to have you broaden your consciousness and to avoid having our teachings be turned into a mental box where the linear mind wants to take everything we have said about angels and turn it into some rigid teaching that this is the way it is supposed to be, my beloved. For this is what the Master said in that book or in that dictation, or through this dispensation or that dispensation. Do you not understand, my beloved? We are not trying to bring forth a teaching that is absolute, that could never change. When will you understand this and stop analyzing and trying to turn everything into that linear teaching where you feel you have things under control? Give up, my beloved, the need to feel that you are in control and that you know everything. flow with the river of life and realize. As Jesus has recently said, you cannot be an embodiment without having some kind of mental box, and so there is always something to give up. And if you take one of our teachings and says that this is now the ultimate understanding of angels or any other topic, well, then you are using that teaching to create a reinforced mental box. And this is not what we desire. This is not our purpose for giving a teaching. We give a teaching to remind you that there is something more, something beyond the outer religions of this world. There is an inner path. My beloved, the living path is what we seek to give you teachings about. Not that you may know it and analyze it intellectually, but that you may tune into it in your hearts. That is our purpose. When you turn it into an intellectual outer teaching, well, you have shut off the heart, and thus you have shut us out. For what are we, the ascended host, my beloved? We are not the outer teaching. This I trust you can see. And thus, what is it you want? Do you want just the outer teaching? Are you satisfied with the outer teaching? Do you hear this bell in the background, my beloved? Do you hear it? Do you see the structure they have built up there, the monument they have built on this mountain that they have decided was the Mount of Transfiguration, even though I can tell you it was not? Do you see that if you go into that church, that monastery, you will find people there who, for most of them, are satisfied with the outer teachings of Christ? And what does that mean? It means there is not room in their hearts for an encounter with the living Christ. They are afraid of the living Master, who would appear to them and speak to them in their hearts if they would only give him room to enter. If there was only room in the inn for the living Christ to be born. But they are afraid of it, because somewhere in their beings they know that if they encounter the living Christ, they would have to make the choice between life and death. They would have to make the choice to take responsibility for themselves instead of continuing in the drama, my beloved. For you go and see so many of these mainstream Christians today, and you will see that they have defined a drama where they only need to keep playing their part, and then they think they will be rewarded in the end by Jesus appearing somehow, taking away their sins. And that is the only requirement for them entering heaven, to have their sins taken away by Christ and to live a good Christian life defined according to some outer earthly standard. You who claim to be students of the Ascended Masters, you should know better. You should realize the difference between wanting only an outer teaching or wanting an encounter with the living Master. My beloved, you are free to do whatever you want. I have no intention whatsoever of forcing you. I only offer you my living presence as the Master of Aquarius. If you think that any teaching given through any messenger dispensation can capture and hold my living presence, then I say, may you live happily in your drama. And then when you are ready to give it up, I will still be here for you. For I cannot reach you if you are focused on the outer teaching, and if you take any teaching given by Saint Germain, given on that name, and turn it into a mental box, because then you have no chance whatsoever of encountering my living presence that I offer to you 24 hours a day, my beloved. For I too am with you always. We who are the ascended host are with you always, which does not mean that we will be with you for an eternity, for someday your time will run out, whereas my time will never run out, for I am beyond time, for I have transcended my dramas. But it does mean that while you are in embodiment, we are there at any moment, at any time. You do not need to wait for this cosmic event. You simply need to decide that this is the time where I want a more direct encounter with the ascended host and what I can get through an outer teaching. This messenger is a messenger because he decided that. He looked to us and said, I want more. I want a more direct encounter with you. And you know that the answer was instantaneous if he was willing, my beloved, to serve in a greater capacity. And because he was willing, he got that encounter with Jesus. This was not for his own growth or for his own glorification. This was not for the raising up of that separate self to have some special status. For if you come to us from that perspective of wanting an encounter with the ascended master so that your separate self can feel special, well, then you will still be wandering in the desert for 40 years or more without entering the promised land, my beloved. Instead, come to us with that openness of heart where you are willing to serve, to give something to others. Then you will feel our presence there as we direct you to how you can serve. But be aware, my beloved, that this might mean dramatic changes in your life. For there are so many times where you cannot serve to your full capacity in the circumstances you are in right now. Has this not been demonstrated by all of us in our earthly lives, such as what Master Moore talked about in his incarnation of Abraham, where he had to leave his land, leave the circumstances where he was comfortable and felt in control, and move around, not feeling quite in control, but feeling nevertheless the presence of that inner guidance with him. This, my beloved, is indeed what we look for in our students. Those who are willing to walk into the unknown, to take one step at a time. Those are true students, following the inner path, not some outer direction. For my beloved, we do not understand, as Maitreya has explained, that there is a time when you can follow the guru, the external guru, but there is a time when you must go within and follow the internal guru only. Ah, my beloved, for whom do the bells toll? Well, the bells you hear are outer expressions. But there is a symbol in the bell, for I tell you that for each of you, your I Am presence is sounding a bell, calling you to come up higher. Not to go into some outer church and worship some external image of Christ, but to go within the church of the heart, to go within your closet, as Jesus said. And there find the living presence of the Christ in whatever form it is for you, whatever master is close to your heart. Is it me? Is it Jesus, Mother Mary, Master Moore, or any of the other masters? Find that master. Cling to that master. Open your mind and heart to the living presence of that master. And then be willing to be led wherever it takes you, even if it makes no sense to your outer mind. Be willing to make those seismic shifts in your life that will put you on a path of your service. Not the path to your service, my beloved, but be careful to realize that this dream of some goal, of some ultimate service, is just another drama. The reality is that your service is a process, an ongoing process that will continue through this lifetime, and possibly in other lifetimes, or continue in the ascended realm, when you have no more need or desire to embody. Life is a process. There is no ultimate result, for even when you attain the consciousness of the creator level, you immediately start creating, and thus the process continues. Life, my beloved, is a process. This is true alchemy. It never stops, it never stands still, and it never goes back, for you cannot step into the river of life twice and have the same experience. For the river of life is always transcending itself. I am always transcending myself. I am always in search of new students who will tune into my heart. But as I have said before, you must be willing, as the one requirement I have, to question everything, especially your drama, in which you are comfortable even when you are miserable. Question why that can be so. How can it be that at one level I think I am miserable, but at another level I am not willing to question why, and therefore I am actually comfortable in that state of misery, for I do not have to take responsibility for myself and make creative decisions. Creative decisions, my beloved, means that there is no predefined outcome. There is no right outcome. There is no wrong outcome. There is only an outcome, which then becomes a foundation for you learning something more and making better decisions, more creative decisions, and thus spiraling upwards, ever spiraling upwards into what eventually accelerates and becomes the ascension spiral. I have said before that I secured my ascension by making 1,000,000 right decisions. But do you think those decisions were made at the same level, at the same state of consciousness? No, my beloved. Those decisions were made in an ascending spiral. And that means that the decisions became more and more subtle, more and more open-ended, more and more creative, my beloved. Let me give you a secret that extremely few people have understood. For you see, it has been said that as you ascend the path, the initiations, the tests you get become more and more subtle. And many have understood this to mean that it becomes more difficult to see the difference between right and wrong. For they still have, my beloved, the image that even at the higher levels of the path to Christhood, there is a right choice and a wrong choice. And they think it becomes more difficult to tell the difference. But you see, my beloved, right and wrong are dualistic concepts defined by the epic dramas. And thus, when you reach the higher levels of Christhood, you realize a stunning truth. There is no longer the need to compare your decisions based on a dualistic standard of right and wrong. It is not that you always make right decisions. It is that you throw away the dualistic measure of right and wrong. You transcend it. And thus there are things you would never do at that level of consciousness, such as harming other people. But everything you do at that level is right. For there is no standard any longer that can hold your ever self-transcending spirit. This is a key to ponder for those who are willing to truly leave behind the epic dramas. What do the epic dramas do? They define a standard, a dualistic standard, and you think you have to live up to it. And if you do, you're right, and if you do not, you're wrong. But my beloved, you have to see the standard for the illusion it is and say, I will no more let my life be imprisoned by the standard. I will be who I will be, regardless of what other people say or what the standard says. For I am the living Christ, and I flow with the river of life wherever it takes me, that I may serve to shatter people's mental boxes. For that is my calling. It is not myself. It is not about me any longer. It is about serving the all, being the all, my beloved. Thus I have spoken at length. But do not believe that I have exhausted my message. There is so much more to bring forth, so much more, for we are now free to rise to a higher level. We are now free, for we have brought forth enough teachings to address the Piscean consciousness and the epic dramas that have held humankind. And now we can build upon that foundation and start giving the teachings that will take people into the Aquarian age and the Aquarian age consciousness. And thus, even though you may sense that a certain cycle of progressive revelation has come to an end, it only means that a new cycle is unfolding. And I, for one, am excited about what can and will be brought forth in that new cycle, as I can assure you that all of us are. For there is rejoicing in the spiritual realm today, as I encourage you to rejoice in having come to this point. Thus I too give my blessing to the two witnesses, and I tell you, what you can manifest between the two of you is even more than Mary and I could manifest. For we did, even though she was at that time more mature and advanced than I, we still had something between us that people sensed when they came into our home. And that is one way of bearing witness to that something more. Thus be true to who you are, for there is not one way to fulfill the office of the two witnesses. There is an infinite variety of ways for those who have come to the level of consciousness where they know that creativity is life. And there is no standard for life. It is an ever-flowing movement. It is the river of life. And thus, my parting words are these. Seek always to be in tune with that river of life and move with it effortlessly. Effortlessly, my beloved. Effortless. What a word to ponder. For is it not the dramas that make it seem necessary to exert an effort in order to receive the kingdom that Jesus said that your Father will give you freely? For it is his greatest pleasure to give it to you. Can you then not accept it in the spirit in which it is offered? For if you cannot accept it in the same spirit in which it is given, how could you possibly receive it?